First of all, that it's a joy and privilege for me to be here this morning. I've only been to this building one time. I was here, I think, 2 years ago. The association meeting met here, if I'm correct, and I was privileged to be here in the meeting. And it was a good meeting. We appreciate your pastor for asking us to come. I've known Brother Will for some time. He's been over to Faith Church where we try to serve. Since I've been there on a couple of occasions, and he was there before I went there. And he's a man that we love. He's sound in the faith. He's unwavering in the faith. He stands fast in what he understands from the scriptures. And we appreciate him. We love him. And we appreciate him asking us to be here today. It's good to see this number. Now, the congregation that I stand before is quite different than this. All of us is getting old. There's a lot of young people here. It's good to see that. But I've been around over the state of Georgia in several different churches. And there's not many of them that you see young people in. Most of them are old. Getting old. I used to think 50-year-old was old and ancient when I was a little old boy. But I can tell you from where I'm at right now, 80 don't look old to me. But we're glad to be here. I told one of the brothers when I come in this morning, the first time I was here, and I still am, when I walk in this building, I stand amazed at the design of this building. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. And just to be honest with you, I've never seen nothing like it. I've never seen nothing come up with it. As a brother said this morning, you pray for us as we try to bring our scripture lesson this morning. I requested a song in the song service, which was beautifully this morning. The song service was great. But I requested a song. It is finished. And that's from the scripture. If you would, turn with me to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 28, 29, and 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The word finished appears many times in the scripture. But here in 28 and 30 of 19 John, the word finished, this is the only two places that it appears in the scripture, taken from the Greek. It comes from a Greek word named tetelestai. And that's the only two places in the scriptures that it's used. The one word in the Greek, tetelestai, means it is finished. In the time when this scripture was written, I read one time where it was used, this word was used several times and in different ways. It was a legal word. It was used legally. Tetlas stale. When a debt was paid, it was rolled on the paper. And in other legal ways, this word was used to mean it was accomplished, paid in full, or finished. It could be used any of those ways. They say in times of old, when a prisoner, like in Rome, of course Rome controlled all of this area where Jesus walked and preached. When a prisoner was put in jail, put in prison, unlike they do today, it's not put on the door of the cell why a person is in jail, but there's records in the record room of their charges. But they tell me that on the door of the cell where a prisoner was lodged, there was written the charges of why he was there. Those that he had been accused of and convicted. But after this prisoner had served his sentence, it was taken down, and someone with authority wrote on that sheet of his sentence, that word, tetlas stale. It is finished. There has never been in the annals of history no greater words than these three little words. It is finished. It is finished. There has never been any words that had any greater implication than those three little words. It is finished. Now, there might be some people that would say, what was finished? Was it just his life upon earth that was finished? Jesus, as far as his life upon this earth, it was finished. He came from God and went to God in the 13th chapter of John. Knowing that he came from God and that he was going to God. But these words meant more than just somebody saying, well, his life upon earth was through. And these words does not mean something precious to every person in this world. It doesn't mean that. It's not good news to every person. But it's the greatest news that ever rang out. It is finished. There is no words to describe God's love to his own. There's no way to describe that. You see, we were ungodly. They might be some people that says, well, you know, I'm not ungodly. The Bible tells us that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know what ungodly is actually? Somebody can't say, well, man is just ungodly. He's in a state of being inactive, not moving. But you know what ungodly means? It means going away from God. Continually going away. I could use an example and say, when we look around, there's things going on now in this world, in this nation, that when I was just a little boy, that I would never have dreamed that I would see. I told the brother outside, I'm not young, I'm not old. If the good Lord lets me live 2 more weeks from today, I will have reached the age of 69 years old. And I see things today that I wouldn't have dreamed of years ago. These little children in this building this morning, and it's wonderful to see them. I mean, I rejoice to see these little children in the house of God. But you know what? They're facing things in this world that you and I, that have got years, almost never faced. They're gonna grow up in a society at large which is ungodly, meaning going away from God. This nation is going away from God. It's not going toward God, but it's going away from God continually. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Everything that we have and everything that we hope for is in Jesus Christ. While we were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And in Titus 3 and verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God loved us and gave His Son. And God's love was shed on us abundantly, according to Titus 3:6. He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, when He was offering up His body a sacrifice, and you might say, well, from the time He came into this world, He offered Himself up. He did. All through His life. But at the end, He gave His life, His body, a sacrifice for our sins. What does it mean whenever we hear the words, if we look at it in this light, the greatest news that's ever been heard? It's finished. You know, I don't like to use things like this when I'm in the stand, but man has fought wars ever since he was in this world. But I've read of and seen documentaries, and the greatest war this nation has ever fought, after the Civil War, was when the world was at war in World War II. From 1939 to 1945, when that war was over, there was over 60, maybe 70 million people died, soldiers and civilians alike. But can you imagine for those soldiers in the foxholes in Germany or in that last island toward the Japan homeland of Okinawa when they heard that it's over? It's finished. Don't you know that was good news? Don't you know that was good news for those men who had been crawling in the earth ugly from death? They heard the words, "It's over. It's complete." The gospel of Jesus Christ bears good news. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. It's over. The warfare is accomplished. And when we read in John 19, verse 30, when he said it's finished, that means there's nothing that can be added to it. There can be nothing taken away. It's complete. It's finished. And only two places in the scriptures that word tetelestai is used. And it's 28 and 30. It's finished. And one might ask, well, what's finished? Just his life upon earth? No, his life upon earth was coming to an end. And not only that, but when he was delivered up, he gave himself an offering. Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down." He was delivered, the Bible tells us, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And wicked men took him and slew him. His life was coming to an end upon earth. He had come down from heaven. You know, that's a mystery. And let me say this. We read in the scriptures of God becoming man. Theology. We'll never be able to explain this mystery. We'll never be able to explain it. Because if you could explain it, it would no longer be a mystery. And Paul says, concerning the Lord coming into this world, he says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. If theology can ever explain, or could explain, this mystery, it would no longer be a mystery. If I know anything, it's not a mystery to me. But what I don't know is a mystery. What I can't understand is a mystery. I can't understand the word eternity. Somebody says, well, it just means on and on. It does. But I cannot fathom the word eternity, which only appears one time in the Scriptures. Eternal appears many times. But the word eternity appears one time in the book of Isaiah, speaking of Him who inhabits eternity. I cannot fathom in this mind of mine, neither can you, to explain. I believe it, but to explain eternity. We look forward, but you see, eternity also looks backward. When there was no earth, when there was no heaven, when there was no sun, moon, stars, there was God. Because He inhabits eternity. He fills eternity. Jesus, when He was on the cross, dying the death of a felon, dying between two men that were felons, He had been put there on the cross in the morning hours. And the Bible says, from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the earth. Darkness. And at the end of those hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour, when the eternal Son of God, who came into this world to offer Himself a sacrifice in the room and in the stead of those that was given Him by the Father. And that makes it very plain in the Gospel of John. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He came to offer Himself a sacrifice for our sins. I made mention a minute ago, there was God before there was the earth. Before there was a moon, before there was a star, before anything, there was God. That's why I said, when we think about the word eternity, we're not thinking about something that's going on and on and on and never end. And it is. But just as far that way, eternity is just as far back. It has no meaning, no beginning, and no ending. And our finite mind cannot comprehend that. But our God fills eternity. In other words, there's no space or time in eternity. Because in eternity there is no time, but God fills eternity. He fills eternity. Whenever Jesus, when He was on the cross, and the other Gospels we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that at the end of that time period when there was darkness over all the earth, when the Bible tells us, and it does tell us, that He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made to be sin. Our sins were put upon Him. There's people in the world today that don't have that and won't have it. But He was made to be sin for us. Our sins were put on Him. And His righteousness is imputed unto us. But He cried with a loud voice when He was on the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me?" When all the wrath of a thrice holy God was poured out upon our Savior, this He did in the room and in the stead of His people. That's hard to understand, isn't it? From our minds. When we know what we are in nature and know how ungodly we were, that God could love us and that one called Jesus would actually put Himself in our place, in our stead, in our room, to know that. When our sins was laid on Him. And the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that He tasted death. He tasted death. It wasn't just talking about Him physically dying. Because you and I are going to die physically. Unless the Lord comes back while we are living, we're going to die. Now, why I say that is because when the Lord comes, those in Christ will not die. They will be changed. But otherwise, you and I are going to die physically. One day, death's cold hand will clasp our brow and we'll bid farewell to this earth. It wasn't just physical death that Christ tasted for us. It wasn't physical death, but it was death. It was death. Some people might not understand that and some people might not agree with that. But when He became sin for us, when He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In our room and in our place, tasting what you and I should taste. But when this happened, the Bible says that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. And it comes from that word, tetelestai. That the Scripture might be fulfilled, and it goes back to the book of Psalms. He says, I thirst. This He said, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Then they took vinegar that was set close by. And they filled that sponge with vinegar. And they put it upon hyssop and put it up to His mouth. In the book of Psalms, He speaks of, they gave me gall for meat and vinegar for drink. When they had done this, He cried and says, it is finished. All the scriptures that ever had been spoken of him, all the things in the Old Testament that pointed to him, of his life and of his death, was now finished. And I might say at this time the atonement had been made. Why do you say that? He still had life in his body, but the atonement was made, because he had tasted death. He had tasted death for you and I. And when he said these words, if you read the other Gospels, and in the Gospel of John also, he bowed his head. The other Gospels record it this way. He cried and he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." Into thy hand I commend my spirit. You know, in John chapter 17, our Lord says these words. "I have glorified thee on earth." This is the prayer that he prayed. This is not called the Lord's Prayer, some people call the Lord. This is the Lord's Prayer, but you know, a lot of people says the Lord's Prayer is "Our Father which art in heaven." That's the model prayer that the Lord gave his disciples. In the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, we read that great intercessory prayer. "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Before the world ever was. What ended on Calvary's cross was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Before the world ever began, what we have in him was given us then. What was finished? All the prophecies concerning Christ, his death, or his life. We'll go back to his life. His life. God coming into this world. And he was God. He was God. God in the flesh. The eternal Word of God became flesh. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And it talks about him when he had by himself offered up a sacrifice, which was his own body. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ, who came into this world, was spoken of many, many decades ago. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, when man had raised a rebellious hand against God. And when I say that, I use this terminology. It was man who defied the law of God. It was man who transgressed the commandments of God. Sin is the transgression of the law. The Bible tells us by one man sin entered into this world. It was by Adam. By one man sin entered into this world in death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. All men. There's not one man that's ever been born into this world since Adam transgressed God's law that's not under sin. In nature, we are under sin. In nature, we are guilty before God. In nature, we are sinners. We're sinners. But in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, when man transgressed that law, and you know, you read that, when Adam and his wife, Eve, was in the garden, they were unclothed and they were unashamed. And the Bible tells us that Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he hid himself, or tried to hide himself. The Lord knew where he was at. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. But he said, Adam, where are you at? Where art thou? I hid myself because I was afraid. And I'm not quoting, I'm just telling you in plain English. He said, why'd you hide yourself? I was naked. I was afraid. The Lord knew he had did what he did. But he began to talk and he said this. Adam said, the woman that you gave to me. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, deceived me. And the Lord looked at the serpent and said, upon thy belly shall thou go. And he said this. He said, the seed of the woman. And here's the first promise. The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. You will bruise the heel of that seed, but that seed shall bruise your head. That prophecy itself was fulfilled at Calvary. It was fulfilled when the Lord said, it's finished. It's finished. When we read in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah the prophecies concerning the sufferings of our Savior, they were finished at Calvary. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, they were finished that concerned Him in His death. All the types, all the shadows of the ceremonial law, every lamb that was ever offered, all the bloody altars and all the animals that was offered up in type, they were finished in Christ. That lamb that was offered up in the land of Egypt, when God delivered His people from the house of bondage, that lamb, that type was fulfilled at Calvary. He was the Lamb of God without sin, without blemish. You remember when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, was baptizing in the river of Jordan. And John seeth Jesus coming unto him, said these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, did you hear those words? "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away." Taketh away. The scapegoat in the Old Testament upon which the sins of God's people were laid and was borne away by the hands of a fit man, never to return. So Christ bore our sins away. No wonder someone could write that old hymn, "Glory, glory to the bleeding Lamb." Why? Because our sins were forever removed. All the prophecies concerning His death, all the types and all the shadows concerning Him, that pointed to Him, that pointed to His death, that pointed to His sacrifice, were fulfilled. The judgment of this world was fulfilled. Jesus says in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world judged." Our sins were judged in Christ. Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated. Was he defeated? He still reigns, somebody might say. The prince and the power of the air. But as far as God's people were concerned, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The debt's paid. Paid in full. It's finished. That word, tetelestai, is finished. It's complete. All the righteousness of the law was fulfilled. You see, you and I could not do that. You and I could not do it. The Bible tells us that God sent His own Son into this world. In the 7th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Romans. And I won't misquote it. I'll read it. In the 7th chapter, I believe it is, of Romans. 8th chapter. "There is therefore now no condemnation." Why is there no condemnation? God's people were delivered. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Christ, all through His life, was obedient to the Father. He says, "I do always those things which please Him." He He died in our room and in our cell. He gathered all in Him. Our sins were on Him. And because of that, His righteousness is imputed unto us. All the shadows and types of the Old Testament, as well as the prophecies, all the obedience to the law, God's just law was satisfied. He had fulfilled the law. He had fulfilled it. As I heard an old brother say many, many years ago, well, he's dead and gone now, but old brother E.B. Watts from Alabama. As our Lord hung on Calvary's cross with His arms stretched, gathering together in one those that were His, Jew and Gentile, when all the host of hell was gathered around Him, when all the power of darkness surveyed upon that hill of Calvary, they could not find one fault in Him because He was perfect. He was holy, harmless, and separate from sinners. But having become sin for us and fulfilling everything that was ever spoken of Him throughout the Old Testament, knowing that He had accomplished everything for the redemption of His people. And beloved, that's what redeems us. That's what redeems us. We're saved not by our own righteousness, but we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. We're saved by His blood. We're justified by His blood. We're justified by His grace. We are justified by faith. It mentions all three of those things, but legally we're justified by the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. It's finished. What glorious news. You know, if we can ever come to the place where that fills our soul with joy, to say it's finished. It's finished. There's nothing that I could ever do. There's nothing that I could ever say. But you see, it's all in Him. They sang that old hymn this morning also. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owed, sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. Aren't you glad of those words, it's finished? What does that mean to you today? What does those words mean to you? It's finished. It's finished. It's complete. The best news that ever fell upon the ears of anybody. It's finished. What glorious news. What good news to hear the words. It's finished. There's no more sacrifice for sin. The Bible tells us that by the offering of the body of Jesus, He hath obtained eternal redemption. He hath obtained. We didn't obtain it. But He obtained eternal redemption for us. Our redemption is in Him. That's why I said I like that old song. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'm saved by His blood. You're saved by His blood. If saved at all, we're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're saved. It's finished. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And when they had put this vinegar on the sponge and put it up on hyssop and put it up to his mouth, he said, it's finished. It's finished. There's not one thing lacking. There's not one thing that can be added. There's not one thing that can be taken away. But it's finished. It's finished. But the ongoing effects of that very time kept on going. It's finished. Aren't you glad of that today? Can you rejoice in those words, it's finished? Can you rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ? There's nothing that I have to glory in this world, neither do you. I'll close. That's why Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. He said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's why God's people can sing that old hymn, in the cross be my glory ever. It's in the cross of Jesus Christ that we glory. And we glory forever and forever. The eternal ages that roll, we will be with Him because of what He did in our room and in our stead. May the Lord bless you.
Sometimes when misgivings are in the face.